Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival. I'm Angelo Acerbi, and I'm here with the English part of the Queer Lion jury, Rich Klein and Brian Robinson. Good afternoon.
Hello, yeah.
And you ended your duties. The jury deliberated. You decided with the film. And so we can talk about the experience. How was it? Was it fun or was it difficult? Who starts?
I thought it was pretty difficult because there weren't that many films that had strong LGBT characters in the festival this year. And that made the whole process much more stressful, I think.
But it was easier probably because there were a couple of movies that were already out of competition right away. I mean, they were not to be considered anymore. Among the list of the titles that you were given.
Among the nine films, yeah. Some of those films had very, very little queer content or subtextual. Mm-hmm. You know, things like Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri. You can read these characters as LGBT characters, but you have to put that into the story. Mm-hmm. It's not overtly in there.
Listen, Brian, you, as a film specialist as you are and a film programmer too, how did the concept of gay cinema change in these last years? Because it's not that definite and definitive like it was like 10 years ago.
I think a lot has changed in the last 20 to 15 years. And we used to be grateful for a single gay character, what we used to call the lesbian at a bus stop film. but I think LGBT audiences are much more demanding now. There are many more films that have a full range of characters. And I think that, yes, we're on the map. It didn't used to be so in the big festivals like Cannes and Venice. Berlin has always had a soft spot.
Yeah, but
for
Berlin had his own section, it was a specific space for that.
But I think one very important thing was when O Phantasma was at the Venice Film Festival, and it was considered very shocking and provocative, annoyed a lot of people, but thrilled people just as much. And I think it's important to have that focus so that we can highlight the great LGBT films that there are.
It's also true that the LGBT movies are not dedicated just for a niche market, but has become like a major movies, some of them at least. So the theme, the issue of LGBT is out in mainstream films too, which makes maybe this more like understood.
I mean, I think there's still a nervousness among many distributors about having a film labeled as LGBT.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's a gay film.
Even if it's a gay film. I mean, the marketing for Brokeback Mountain, if you look at it, they called it a love story. They didn't say that it was a gay film because they wanted it to be for everyone. And I think that does harm, that film marketing is a very powerful tool. And if there are films out there that people don't realize are for them, when you speak directly to an LGBT audience, they will come to you and are very, very rewarding and will give you fantastic word of mouth and social media. If you try and slip a film out under cover of it just being a general film, you may not get as good an audience.
Exactly. And then the fact that sometimes, for this specific award, many titles are labeled like gay film that they are not, shows the difference of perception of what it is LGBT from an LGBT person to a straight person, because straight person see like LGBT something that maybe for an LGBT audience is not.
Yeah,
or it's not enough.
If there's just a minor character who might possibly be gay, they'll think that's an LGBT film.
That's a gay film.
But I think, you know, we're in a year when an LGBT film won the Oscar for Best Picture. Things should be changing. You know, we should have more representation.
Yeah, the thing is probably that the industry is always slower than the people. So the pace is...
I've always been annoyed that, as far as I can tell, Woody Allen doesn't seem to have had any gay characters.
Ever.
In a single film.
Oh, I've never thought about that. That's
and his films are set in New York, and I've been to New York, and I know that you just walk 2 meters down the street and you see a gay person.
Yeah.
So I think filmmakers have a responsibility to reflect the world in its diversity, and it's all very well to have a particular vision, but I think we want our stories to be up there on the big screen. Mm-hmm. We are part of the world, and we're not going away.
Oh, of course not. And what made you decide to give the award to Marvin by Anne Fontaine?
I mean, I think it was the strongest LGBT film in the selection.
Mm-hmm.
It had two amazing performances. The young actor, Jules Poirier, mm-hmm. And Finnegan Oldfield were very, very strong, particularly the younger boy. I think for someone so young to be able to carry the role in the way that he did with such a sensitive and nuanced performance. And I think some people might feel, oh, a coming out story, we've had those, mm-hmm. we know that. But this, it's a very well-told story.
Exactly. I mean, the way you tell things makes things different if they are the same or something else. And there was a runner-up. I know because Daniel Casagrande just told me that you were deciding between two titles at the end of the day. And the other title was Les Garçons Sauvages, which was one of the gayest films in the festival, I think, in terms of aesthetics and of issues, probably. But what made you decide not to give award to him? I know it's a harsh question, but...
Well, I mean, I felt like it didn't really have very much actual LGBT
really?
Content
you
in
see,
it.
The perceptions are different.
It's about a group of young boys who are basically forced to turn into young women. They're not choosing to mm-hmm. to gender re-identify. They're forced to do it. They enjoy it, mm-hmm. but it's not a happy... You know, they're not choosing it. I don't think that's particularly LGBT.
Well,
positive.
The gender issue was so in your face. They probably just mistook it for like an LGBT movie, but
it is a gender. It's all about gender, and also there's the issues of the style of the film, which is mm-hmm. a little bit derivative and film schoolish. It's kind of indulgent, wacky, really seriously wacky style of filmmaking.
Actually, yes.
That was the other issue for me personally.
So now you can relax. I mean, the festival is over, so there's nothing much left to relax to. But anyway, you can relax. And thanks a lot to Brian Robertson and to Rich Klein for being with us. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.